Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
I believe I'm going to preach from the book of Acts, chapter 11. No notes for you. I have some notes. We have our youth here. And I'm so glad you are. Look at this crew. My. Our youth group is up and over 100 kids now, and we're excited about that. I was the last night in Israel, I went to what's called Hostage Square. And at Hostage Square, it's in Tel Aviv. And what they have there is it's this ongoing 24-hour time of celebration waiting for the hostages to return. I've forgotten the number, sorry to say. There's many, many hostages. Are you all aware of what that is? So people are minding their own business. And imagine if you were in your neighborhood, just imagine this, you're in your neighborhood and all of a sudden you start hearing gunfire and then somebody breaks down your door and they take you away and they burn your house or worse. And I'm just giving you the light story that's very light. I went there, I walked through the homes, I saw, you know, all the bullet fire, wash machines, washers and dryers riddled with bullets. Places burned. And there's youth and children that are in captivity right now in Gaza. And at Hostage Square, they have people there 24 hours a day, and they have these booths where there's families and people. And there's this large gathering of youth that are there. And they're crying out to God and crying out for their family and their friends to come home. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of them. God's doing something in the youth. I said, God's doing something in the youth, not just here, but all around the world. The best is yet to come. You're going to experience an unprecedented outpouring. God is going to not only touch homeschoolers, but all the preschoolers, and he's going to touch our school. We're scheduled to launch that. King's Christian School launches this weekend for registration. Come on, somebody say praise the Lord. And I do know the details, but my brain is not working 100% right now. But I think it's K-1 first grade and second grade. It could be third also, K-1 and 2 at least. So you'll be praying for that. This is the greatest time to be alive. It really is. We love you and we're glad you're with us in this service tonight. They have this table there. It's set for all the hostages. If you go to my Instagram, you can see it on my story. It's this table setting for 165, I think is what it is. And the table is set, glasses, silverware, plates, everything set for when the hostages come home. It's a representative of how many people are still missing. There just is no way that I can articulate how horrible it is. It's not like it is here. Even in the inner city, a drive-by, a shooting, that's horrible. Rape is horrible. That's horrible. It's way worse. Why? Because it just... In many of the homes that are groomed to hate Jews, so you would teach your child. One day, this is a phrase. It's a phrase they use. One day you'll hold a gun and kill a Jew. That is a phrase they use. So when you're trained in racism, and anti-Semitism is taught. And when they hear that and they grow up, then that's all they, you know, just like you raise a child up in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. But you know, if you raise a child up in deception, you raise him up in hate, then that's the same thing. It can be turned around. God can turn it around. Come on, someone say it. God can turn it around. And he will. World peace will come when the king splits the eastern sky. That's when we'll have it. We fight and contend for it. We'll not come before that, but we fight and contend for it. I'm just going to give you some thoughts off the, you know, the things that are on the front part of my heart, and then we'll get to the book of Acts. And we're not going to have a long service, because otherwise I might just cuddle up in the corner. We will not be going past 8:30, so just letting you know. Unless, of course, Jesus comes and lays hands on us, and then none of us will worry about what time it is. The systematic destruction and of the nations that are around Israel, funded by Iran, Hezbollah, and all the different terrorist organizations. Lebanon, we went to the border of Lebanon, and they thought that the war would come from the north, but it came from the south. Heard it talked about. We met with military people, high-ranking military people. We went into military installations and went to Air Force Base, went to an Air Force base, fed 1,000 soldiers falafel. You know what that is? I smelled like a falafel on the plane. I wore the same set of clothes for over, I don't know, it was going on 3 days just because of travel. Served early in the morning and then didn't get on a plane till late that day. I felt bad for the people sitting next to me. We met with people, and just you get to hear the heart of the people of Israel. And it's not just Jews. What do you think? Well, Israel Jews. Well, yes, of course, but there's Muslims, and there's other people. There's Christians that live there. That it's a nation. When we met with, when we fed 1,000 soldiers, it was just, what was astounding to me was all the different nationalities. Like if you go to a military installation in the U.S., you're gonna see Polish people, Russian people, you're gonna see people, you know, Mick something. You see a whole melting pot of the nations in the U.S. of A, very similar in Israel, and all serving together, loving their nation, and a whole anti-Christ movement that just wants to kill them, destroy them, and wipe them off the planet. Again, I can't seem to put together a string of thoughts that are complete, so just enjoy my isolated fragments. I'm back to that. The Lebanon was 65% Christian. It is now 25% Christian, and those people live in the mountains. And the cities, Lebanon has been completely overtaken by Hezbollah and Iran. And when you see the protests and the marching in the street, they don't hold pictures of the political leadership of Lebanon. They hold pictures of the political leadership of Iran. And here's how they did it. They were funded with lots of money, so they would come in and Lebanon, the economy, they just destroyed the economy, but they always had money because it was funded by Iran. And they would take over the educational system. So they took over the educational system, completely took it over. And then they brought, you know, just Sharia law and everything. And so everyone is taught in the educational system this hatred for Zionists. and for Israel. And they're just taught that from the youngest age all through the schools. And the way that they operate, as I was told, is that you get hooked. It's kind of like, well, we'll help you, but here's what we want you to do. So here you are, you're starving, you need food. We'll help you. We'll help you, Pastor Tim, but you just need to hold on to these rockets in your house, and then we'll take care of you. So you do. You're like, well, I'll just hold the rocket. At least we get to eat. And then you become a stockpile. Then you're engaged. Then you're a part of it. And even if you weren't into wiping out Israel, you're totally hooked in through this whole corrupt system. And literally, Lebanon is no longer Lebanon is, I mean, of course there's Lebanese, but we met with a Lebanese Jew who shared with us how his nation has been absolutely destroyed from the inside out. Same thing in Syria, the same thing. The same thing. And I'm thinking to myself, it's what's happening in America. Yeah. Ramming transgenderism down our throat, trying to take over our schools and change things around and just make it this woke, broke, jacked up thing with no morals. In the name of equality, it's totally demonic. And that's what's happened, and they see it happening in America. I've recorded some rabbis and different ones. I've got a lot of footage that I'm gonna have our media guys work on after our conference, and we'll put together something and show it to you because it's profound. My. Okay, one more thing. We're gonna get into the word. One more story. We're in Lebanon. We're at the Syrian border, and so you know we get out. We did this Jeep. Went to the front, went right to the line of the border of Lebanon and Israel. And so we get out and they're like, oh, quick, everybody over here. You don't want to be a target. And we're like, awesome. They talked to us so profound. Recorded many of those things, and we'll put together a media package by the grace of God. Went to the south, went to the Gaza, just to the southern. Well, we didn't all go all the way to the front because it was just really pretty intense. But drones, machine gun fire, tank fire, you know, was really something. Met with a man from a kibbutz. He's one of 12 people that still run the kibbutz. I don't even know what a kibbutz is. It's like a community where they gather together in this communal living, really. And they were attacked. I forget the exact number of how many people they lost and were killed. So here's this man, his neighbors were taken, and he is over the all the agriculture there for the kibbutz. And they farm hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of acres of land. And so they came in and they took Hamas came and took all their tractors, 9 tractors. Anybody ever buy a tractor? Now, I'm not talking about like a cute John Deere to run do your lawn, which we all appreciate, not pushing a lawnmower. I'm talking large tractors, took 9 of them. This is what this man said, and to all the pastors, there was 20 pastors from across America that were on the tour and on the solidarity trip. We were all just rocked. But what this man said is, we will never leave. We will never leave our land again. We are staying no matter what. And they went and took 9 of our tractors. So we immediately, and we're standing in a war zone, basically the outskirts of it. He points to the tractors that are in the field on the other side of the fence, but a part of the land that belongs to them. It says, we're still farming. We won't stop farming. We won't stop creating opportunities. We won't stop building buildings. We won't stop. We went out and bought brand new tractors immediately. And that's to say that we will never be intimidated. We will never shrink back. That terror will turn if you just have courage. If you have courage. And I thought, my God, the church needs to be filled with that. The church of the living God needs to have some fire on the inside of it. We have first world problems. We don't have any real problems.
I mean, really, not like that.
Nobody's trying to hunt us down and kill us. Of course, they might have come across the border. I'm not cracking a joke. It's absolute insanity. Right now, I'm weighing if I'm going to say what I want to say. We're not political here. We just stand for truth. And we like saying it. And the stuff we like saying, a lot of people don't like hearing. But there's a other whole group of people that love hearing it. I think they might be here tonight. Why don't you give God praise? Come on. God, we pray for your intervention. We pray for the return of the hostages. We pray, oh God, for your help. Oh, Lord. Give you praise. All right, 8:06, let's do it. Stand up on your feet, take your Bibles, and turn to the book of Acts. Thank you, Minister Toby. Acts 11, verse 19. Reading from the New Living Translation. Meanwhile, the believers who had been scattered during the persecution after Stephen's death traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch of Syria. They preached the word of God, but only to Jews. However, some of the believers went to Antioch from Cyprus and Cyrene and began to preach to the Gentiles about the Lord Jesus. The power of the Lord was with them, and a large number of Gentiles believed and turned to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Move in power. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm astounded at how God can just break in at any moment. So many times we have a sacred and a secular mindset. So you're in church, so the gifts can work in church, but then you're out there and you just need to behave yourself. Can I tell you something? I think you should be you in church, out of church, and everywhere you go. We saw God's hand on our trip and witnessed and shared our faith with people. You know, we did Isaiah 35. I don't know if you were here prior to my departure. Isaiah 35, strengthen the feeble hands and the weak knees. Say to them, have courage. The Lord's gonna save you. That text, Isaiah 35, is tremendous in that where there's the encouragement of heaven, there's a release of his power. And I believe that God has a special blessing for us because we're willing to stand with Israel, and we do, make no doubt about it. We stand with Israel. And there's so much skewed news out there. How they're using carpet bombs and white phosphorus grenades, and it's just insanity. You know, one of the things that really marked me as I go back to this trip of 10 days of, I mean, I feel like a pate. Just, how many of you know what pate is? It's where they take a goose and they just stuff it full. And then, yeah, I'm so full, I have to digest everything and look at pictures and read my journals. And it was just so much content. I forgot what I was talking about. Let's just get into the text. Oh, what? Oh, yeah. They're the most moral army in the world, from my estimation of things. If they just obeyed the Geneva rules, Geneva Convention, there would still be, Geneva Convention still allows for atrocities. They're moral based on God's word. Not that they're all believers. There's still perversion in Israel. It's a secular government, but at the same time, it's guided by the precepts of God's word. So they take painstaking costs and details to avoid unnecessary loss of life. 600 miles of tunnels. 600. That's more than here to Fairbanks. 600 miles of tunnels. Well, I used to think that there could be a two-state solution. I no longer think that. Let's go to Acts 11. We're there. We read it. Let's get into this. That's my opinion. All right, here we go. In my lifetime, I've seen some great moves of God. I do believe we're actually in one. I believe that God is doing things in our midst that are phenomenal, and it's going to continue to grow and expand. Jesus' movement in the 70s is a great one to study. You look at how that happened through Lonnie Frisbee and really just a handful of long-haired hippies. Chuck Smith in California, and it began to spread. They would go everywhere. I mean, if you ran into them, they would tell you, hey, man, you heard about Jesus? They would tell people about Jesus so much, they even like looking like Jesus. Lonnie Frisbee had long hair, and he like looked like Jesus. It was like the thing. Amazing how revival spreads. You know how your high schools, your junior high, you know how God's going to touch all the students? Can you all hear me over here? Give me an amen. Amen. Do you know how that'll happen? By God using you. By God touching you. You don't fake it. You don't try to tell God how great God is when you really haven't experienced him as great. That's religion. But when you experience him as great, when he touches you and he changes your life, and then you begin to tell someone about it, you begin to tell a student about it, you begin to reach out and touch that one that you see fresh cut marks on their arm, that one who's being bullied, that one who's got their head down in the hallway, and they look like the depressed. You know why they look like the depressed? They are. And they need somebody to reach across and care enough to say that God loves you. You need to come with me Wednesday night. It's lit. And they'll look at you all side-eye and sus. And then you just invite them anyway. Can you say amen? Side-eye and sus is Gen Z language. Sus is suspect. Side eye, I think you got that figured out. Jesus' movement happened because a bunch of people began to share their faith and testified. You know, I believe the same thing can happen here now, this week, next week. I believe it is happening. 97 life groups. 97 small groups. That's a record. 1995, the outpouring of the Spirit took place for us in a fresh way in the islands. Alaska had a great outpouring in the early 90s. 95 is when I experienced that. I remember walking into the service, the very first service of those revival meetings. I didn't know anything about revival. I was a part of a teen challenge, which I was grateful for. And as we're walking in, this guy says to me, oh, this is going to be very controversial. He was one of the counselors. I said, why is that? He said, because this guy, he splits churches everywhere he goes, he splits churches. I'm like, what's a church split? He's like, when people don't agree and then one church, half of the church goes somewhere and the other half stays. He says, man, I wouldn't be here if I didn't have to be here. I'm like, really? Why are we here then? He says, I don't know. They want us to come. Walked into that. I don't know what his problem was. Obviously bound by something, and somebody fed him a bunch of lies. went in, the power of God was put on display in such an unprecedented way that it began to spread. People began to talk. We had to carry home half of the students. What do you mean? I mean, they couldn't walk. They couldn't talk. They couldn't walk. They couldn't talk. We had to literally carry them in. In the men's dorm, we literally were getting guys out of their boots and their clothes and helping to pull their pants off and get them in bed because they were not functioning. And then we were given a CD from the meetings with the music from the meetings. It just played all night. I remember waking up on a cloud going, what is happening? That began to spread. I'm telling you, what takes place in the Bible can take place here. These guys had the power of the Lord with them, and everywhere they went, you know, lukewarm, half-hearted, lame Christianity is not trending because it doesn't do anything. Come on, let's go to bond. Let's have bondage together and stay broken and depressed. Seriously. But you know what does change? You know what does change things? Jesus changes things. His power changes things. These people began to come and be gathered because the power of the Lord was there, and the message spread beyond the Jews now into Gentiles, and it became a global worldwide movement. I'm telling you, God wants to set you on fire and change your life in such a way that you will then be a point of change for others. Don't you settle for what Jesus died and rose again to set you free from. If you're depressed tonight, you do not have to go out that way that you came in. If you came in here sick and perplexed, you can leave with clarity of mind, healed and whole. God is able to help you. God is able to do it. He's not only able, he wants to. The key to this movement here are individuals, leadership. I hope you hear this the right way. I got interviewed a couple different times for media, I think for a commercial and for something else. And they weren't interviewing everybody. They're only interviewing a few people. And the guide says to me, before you go, I need you to do I want to record you. I'm like, okay. He says, you've been getting recorded. I was like, yeah, I noticed. He says, you know why? I said, why? He says, you got fire in your eyes. You got something about you. You got something, you got this. And he gave this Hebrew word for it. I think that comes from the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not because my eyes are blue. It's because the Holy One lives on the inside of me and the resurrection power is on tap. Can you say amen? I don't declare that I've arrived, but forgetting that which lies behind, I'm pressing on to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I've seen people who are NPCs. Let me go over here because you don't know Gen Z and you don't know what I just said. Non-player characters. They just sort of stand there. But they never really do anything. The church has been filled with NPCs, people that are just frozen. They don't have fire. They don't have power. They don't have deliverance. They can't talk. I know it's no one in this room. Listen, you can be set free from being an NPC, non-player character. What is that movie with that guy? Free Guy. You can be a free guy. Then we're like, what's Free Guy? I don't know. I don't think I can endorse it. But it is a beautiful picture of someone who's like a religious person who gets set free. These people witnessed, they served. You got to understand the context, and so let me just give it to you here. Another 10 minutes or so, and we'll be concluding, maybe. Context is Acts 2, Spirit's been poured out. Oh, gosh, I learned something. Imagine that. I always wondered, like, you know, the upper room, they bring you to a particular place in the city. This is the upper room, this is the upper room, but it doesn't really make sense. On one hand, because 3,000 people get saved, then they all get baptized. And you got to ask yourself, when you're standing there at this supposed place of where the upper room is, I mean, where did they go get baptized? Until you understand the layout of the temple, and you understand that there's all these, I mean, it is a massive baptismal tanks all around this one side of the temple. And there's all these tanks. You could baptize 3,000 people right there. I never really put that together. Me neither. I know, isn't that amazing? So they get filled with the Spirit, 3,000 people, 120 people pray in tongues, 3,000 people, they all get baptized in these pools. And there's a Hebrew name, and I can't remember what it is. It's in my notes. Acts 3 and 4, we read of the effects of the healing of a lame man who's brought daily, 38 years old. 38? I'm mixing up. I don't know. He's older. He's lame. I think he's 38 years old. Peter and John are threatened. Jewish religious leaders threaten him. You know, there's always going to be threats. It was interesting. I led prayer. We started morning prayer there with our tour. So there wasn't morning prayer, and I just said, can we have a room in the hotel where we gather for prayer every morning? And they said, we'll look into that. So we looked into it, and we went. And it was me and Pastor Gill and Pastor Austin, and then eventually God added a couple other pastors and then a couple others. And honestly, it didn't go past that. It just went to about 5, the most 10, maybe half of the crew. I mean, you're in a war zone, you think, anyway. Thank you for praying for me, it worked. The only reason I'm here is because of prayer. I mean, like right now. I got off the flight in Israel about 6 in the morning. There was a 7 o'clock flight on Alaska Airlines to get me here right now. The only way I could be on that flight is I had to walk through customs unencumbered right away, and I had to get my bag immediately, and there had to be a seat. So I start praying in tongues. I'm like, I want to go home and see my girl, and I want to see you all too. I want to see my woman. Beautiful church. I wanted to preach to you. Literally walk right through. It's a massive line, and I have global entry. It was totally worth it. Walked right through. Now hundreds, I mean, it's this massive plane that flies there. I'm like, Rakabashanda, my bag right now. Comes out my bag. I'm like, oh, yes. Hustled, got a seat on Alaska Airlines. I'm here because of prayer. Otherwise, I wouldn't be coming in till, like the rest of those guys, poor Pastor Gill, God bless him, he arrives at 11 o'clock. Lost my train of thought again. Prayer. Still lost my train of thought. Prayer changes things. Raise your hand to heaven and say, prayer changes things. And they got picked up at the airport by Pastor Vince. And he allowed me to snore while he drove me safely home. Thank you so much, Pastor Vince. Prayer. Oh, I remembered. I led prayer in the bus. You have a bus, you ride on a bus, and there's our guide is a Jew, And one of the most brilliant, I mean, he's brilliant. He's 35 years old. The amount of the content of scripture and history that he had, I mean, some people just have a touch from God on their brain. So I didn't want to offend him. So they're like, okay, it's time for you to pray. So I go to pray, and I'm going to close, and I want to be sensitive to others. And I said, in Jesus' name, amen. Is that okay? And he said, let me tell you something about that. I said, okay, yeah, great. He said, you know what we love is when people unashamedly declare their faith. Don't worry about it. Just be you. So I was shouting in Jesus' name on a regular basis after that. Peter and John are threatened by the religious leaders. They prayed for boldness in Acts 4. They prayed signs and wonders that God would do miracles through them. Acts 4:33, with great power, the apostles continued to testify the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. In Acts 5, verse 12, the apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people. Signs and wonders are normal, natural byproduct of a relationship with God. Signs and wonders in the high school ought to be normal. Signs and wonders in your home ought to be normal. Signs and wonders, we saw many. We saw many signs and wonders of God's protection, God's blessing, God's favor, over and over and over and over and over. We had one road rage incident. We're in a bus and some loon, which is a type of bird that acts crazy, is brake checking the bus. You know what that means? It's when they just smash their brakes. And it's heating up, it's getting more and more intense. And so we prayed, Lord, would you help this guy right now in Jesus' name? And he's just instantly gone out of the road. I mean, he didn't crash or anything, praise God, but he's removed. Come on, God can do miracles. Little things like that aren't so little if your bus is gonna be in the ditch and everybody's dead. Come on, God's good. The church grew because of that, because of the word of God, because of the power of God. That's how the church grew. The church didn't grow because of some intellectual ascent. The church didn't grow because they had a nice building. They didn't even have a building. They had homes. They had places that they met in. They met in the temple courts. They met in people's homes. They went house to house. They broke bread. Thank God for a building, but the church is not a building. The church is people. And people come to me, they build it and they'll come. That's only true in that baseball movie. That's not true. I had people, we were building this. Pastor, I know I haven't been in church in a while, but as soon as that building's done, I'm gonna be there. They still ain't here. Well, we know you're not 100% done when we get to upstairs. No, you ain't coming. Until you get touched by God and develop a relationship. Not everybody should come here. We're not big enough for that. We will reach 10% of the population and be a part of Kings. Can I get an amen? They have administrative problems, and so they changed the administrative problems so that they're not waiting on tables. They release people. Administrative changes. We've had to change administration. You have to change. As a parent, you're going to have to change your administration in your home. The administration you have with a 9 and 10-year-old is not the same administration as a 13, 14, and 15-year-old. Can I get an amen? Amen. Administration changes. But our text picks up the result of persecution. It's that farmer at the Gaza Strip is like a Macedonian man to me. We will continue to build. We will get bigger. We won't back off. We will always stay here. God has given us this land, and we're not leaving. And I just thought, woo! What fire? What purpose? God has placed me in this high school. I'm going to reach this high school. God has placed me in this town, in this neighborhood. God has placed me in this village. God has placed me in the Philippines or wherever you are. Come on, wherever you are, God has set you there, unless you're in disobedience, and you should repent and get back to where he did set you. And he wants to use you to bring change. You say, but I'm scared. Draw closer to God. Be encouraged and understand who you are, and fear will fall away, and you will rise in a God-given, blood-bought unction from heaven, and you'll push back the gates of hell. You'll be powerfully used. You'll have courage. So we don't even know who they are, these unnamed people. It just says, and they went to Phoenicia, to Cyprus, to Antioch. We do not even know who they are. Doesn't say, there's no names. And they preached to Jews and Gentiles. Lord's hand is with them. In conclusion, as my keyboards please come, you can't read the book of Acts without seeing the fact that God is deeply concerned about people receiving Jesus. He's not only deeply concerned about people receiving Jesus, he's concerned about people becoming part of the church. And I believe he's concerned also about being rightly represented. One of the pastors said to Pastor Gil and I, he said, oh, you guys are those really energetic kind guys. He said, you're those energetic kind. It's called passion. If your passion doesn't wake you up to pray, your passion's weak. Or maybe you don't have a revelation in prayer, and God knows it took us a while to get that too. What drove them? Where is the generation that'll go to Phoenicia? Where is the generation that'll go over sea and land and mountain to preach the word? Where are they? All right then. We need an army. I believe God's raising up an army. I believe what God's done here, he's doing here, and he's doing all over Kings, and he's doing all over in any church that's gonna actually take the land. I'm not here for a job. I'm here to take the land, here to occupy. I was so rebuked and corrected by that man, a Jewish man in a kibbutz in the middle of a field with tank tracks and war drones flying overhead. His brand new tractors were placed out in the field. They're gonna go work them. He took a moment just to talk with us. Because for me, I felt like, whew, this building was big and it's expensive and all of that. And I felt like the Lord said, get over it. Pay it off, build more, keep going. I'm like, blah, blah, blah. You know, you can go through things that cause you to have like PTSD.
Well, that was really hard.
Was it? No, was it? It's like our prophet friend who's talking to his mother who's 98 or something, talking about COVID. Mom, it's really hard right now. She's like, really? You're 98. All the wars that you saw, the wiping out of the scarlet fever and the things that they went through, COVID was a blip. And I'm not mocking those of you that maybe lost loved ones. I understand we grieved and did more funerals and all of that. I understand. But in the words of Dr. Morocco from Scripture to me when I was having a hard time, come back to me regularly. As I called him to complain my first year when I was here, about 30 of us in the church, I felt a good portion hated me. It was probably deception from the enemy, yet the Lord knows. So I called him. I'm like, Pastor, it's really hard here. He's like, okay. I said, well, you got to pray for me. I think I started crying. I've grown up a little bit since then. This is happening. He's like, now, Daniel. I'm like, yeah. He's like, just now, hold on a second. Has anybody tried to burn you at the stake? I'm like, no. He's like, okay. All right. I'm like, okay. He's like, okay. Have you resisted to the point of shedding blood yet? I don't think so. He's like, you're going to be all right. Come on. It's very important in this hour of history that you grow a spine by the power of the Holy Ghost. And don't be intimidated. Don't be intimidated by their faces, as he said to Jeremiah. Don't be intimidated that they don't like you. There's only two or three people statistically that do. Press in. Receive power. Have an encounter with God. And be powerfully used. They don't even have to know your name. The no-name team went to Phoenicia, Cyprus, to reach the lost. The growth of the church comes when people get set on fire. Your personal growth, listen, using me as illustrations, but let me tell you what it took for me to get on the plane. God had to bring my bag, but I sprained my ankle, which currently is 100% healed as I'm preaching to you right now. So I jumped out of the bus and I rolled my ankle. I was grateful I didn't break it, and it doesn't hurt at all right now. Looks like a pickle, but it doesn't hurt. The bag came down. I had to get the bag. I had to move my vanilla booty all the way to customs quick. I had to go quick. If I wanted to get on the plane, I had to get the lead out and get going. And I'm tired of, I'm like, yeah, I've almost seen my girl. Let's go. Jesus help. It took passion. It took drive. I had to move through, past all the crowds, walking past people. I ran a couple sections. I get there. And the lady's like, your bag's too heavy. I'm like, can you do something about that? She's like, no. I'm like, she says, it's going to cost you $130. Well, I don't feel like spending $130 on my piece of luggage. So I'm like, okay. So I lighten it up by 5 pounds. I put it back on. She goes, still way too heavy. I'm like, okay. I pull some out, put it back on. She's just looking at me like, meanwhile, I have all my stuff piled up. I don't even have another bag for it. I mean, how am I even going to get on the plane with, like, I got laundry out, I got books out, I got... She let me go with 51 pounds. May the Lord bless her. Amen. And I had to figure out how to carry all this. I looked like a hobo. And my wife knows. I hate that. You're not going to see me with a lot of bags and stuff hanging out. I just don't like it. Like a clean, organized, tight, let's go, right? It took fire. It took passion. It took purpose. It took drive. I wanted to be here to preach to you tonight. God made a way, but I had to do my part. Listen, God ain't going to do your part. You have to do yours. You got to get yourself in prayer. You got to open up the word. You got to lift your hands. You got to hunger and thirst for righteousness, knowing that he'll fill you. You've got to position yourself where the spout of the glory comes out. You've got a hunger. Come on, lift your hands to heaven. Who knows? Maybe you're a part of the team that's going to spread the gospel all over the world. Maybe you're one of the next pastors and leaders and business people. There's Priscillas and Aquilas in this house right now. There's people here that God wants to use you to spread his word everywhere with signs and wonders and miracles. It's time. It's time to get set on fire. The world needs you. The world longs for an encounter with God, not smooth-kneed, apathetic, lethargic, limp-wristed, half-hearted Christianity. No, people that have been impacted by the truth. People that have been filled with the Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is available.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.